Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 60, continuing a discussion about the reading group. So, as I said earlier, a lot of what I'm going to tell you here may be a bit counterintuitive, but let's see how this works. First of all, get parents involved. And what I did was, at the beginning of third grade, I said to the parents that beginning in November, we are going to have reading groups that will meet at the double period, which is a portion to gardening work in the autumn and the spring in our rather chilly area. And in the middle months from November through mid to late April, we will have reading groups at that double period Friday afternoon. So this is the most difficult time to teach children anything, the last two periods on a Friday afternoon. Be aware of that, parents. And what I would ask is I'd love to have a group that could rotate. So if I could get 8 of you or 10 of you who would be willing to help with this, I would really appreciate it, and I'd need help from 4 people each time, so that way you don't have to do it every week, though I think you may want to keep coming back when you see how the children are doing. And I also ask that if you are in this group of volunteers, that we have a session together at a time that seems to work out for all of us, in which I am going to give you the rudiments of how to teach children reading in the Waldorf way, so that we're all on the same page. And I'll go over in great detail the step-by-step way that we will work together, okay? Well, immediately about 14 hands shot up. And of course, who are they? As I said, the most anxiety-ridden parents who are not sure I know what I'm doing at all. And we got together about 2-3 weeks later and went over what I had been doing since grade 1 and through grade 2 and how I was trying to approach reading. And they were great. They were, you know, really enthused about it. And then this is how we would work. So these reading groups, we didn't have thousands of them by any means. It was just every Friday, 2 periods, and of course sometimes Thanksgiving weekend or other vacations, you don't have a Friday in the school week, and only from November through April. So first of all, the entire class would sit in a big circle, and the parents who were with us that day, the 4, sometimes it was even 5 parents who came, would be in that circle as well. We would I would read a paragraph from our book aloud, then we would all read it together aloud. Now, of course, a third of the children are really reading it together. A third are struggling a bit, and one third are just letting their eyes wander over the page or around the room or whatever. And we'd all read a second paragraph together without my reading it in an introductory way. And then I would say, all right, now we're going to divide into our groups. And by the end of the afternoon, we will all have read up to page 17, paragraph 3, or something like that, whatever I knew would be possible. So then I had a group, and there were 4 other groups as well. Now, how were these groups constituted? This is the big one. They were not constituted according to ability. We did not read 3 or 4 different books of different reading levels. We all read the same thing, and what we read was basically directed towards the better readers, no question about it. The reading that we did together in this way was on a more advanced level than everybody could necessarily do. So every group, I wanted to have 1 strong reader. Sometimes there were 2. every group, I wanted to have one or two children from the middle realm. And in every group, I wanted to have one or two who were really slow or hardly reading at all. Otherwise, you have no model for the slower ones and for the middle ones. You know, if they're only reading at their own rate, working with peers, watching other children do something really well is such an impetus for a child who's struggling in one way or another. Reading is a social endeavor as much as an intellectual or purely pedagogical one. There were also rules in these reading groups. Number one, nobody could start to read ahead. The parents had express orders. If they saw somebody flipping through the pages, they said stop. If the child didn't stop then and did it again, their book would be taken away. And they would just be sitting in the reading group without their own book, looking over someone else's shoulder. Secondly, nobody was allowed to laugh at someone else who is struggling with a word, or even crack a smile. We're going to be very, very Hebrew scripture-like here. This isn't funny. We really respect and support the efforts that everybody is making. And we're all working together at this. And number three, nobody is allowed to say, I can't read. You're only allowed to say, I am learning to read. And as I told them, I myself, your teacher, I am still learning to read. And when they said that was impossible, we opened up a big dictionary and I found all kinds of words that I had never seen before in my life and had to struggle to pronounce them and find the definition. I said, look, I've just learned to read a new word. We're all on this path of learning. So that was also important. One person only, which of course would be one of the fast readers, the good readers, was allowed to be the corrector. But he or she had to wait until a child who was struggling to read had made a few efforts at reading that word, at sounding it out in one way or another. And then only that child was allowed to correct. So you see, this way, of course the faster ones are going to go home and complain to their parents. They're bored. Except, of course, in many cases, it was their parents who were there leading the group. So their parents could see, you know, actually my daughter wasn't bored. She was waiting to have a chance to correct somebody else. She really had an eagle eye on everybody to see if she could catch them making a mistake. So, okay, that keeps them awake and alert. And it also, as I told their parents, develops the capacity of patience, which we all need. None of us in our lives is always working at our optimum speed. You know, we're waiting for the traffic jam to clear up, for the light to turn, for the elevator to come, for the copy machine to be available, for broadband to start to function again, whatever it is. We all have to learn to wait. It's one of the first things that Steiner points to in how to know the higher worlds. So this is not such a bad thing either. And parents who sat in on those groups saw that as well. So this is what happened then. The children sit together in a little circle. We had to find spaces in the hallways and classrooms, whatever. And the parent then reads a paragraph aloud. The children listen. Then everybody in the circle reads that paragraph together. So it's a little bit of a recapitulation of what we did before, only it's a new paragraph. And then they go through a new paragraph one at a time. And it's up to the parent to decide how much a given child should read. Whether that child is ready to read a whole paragraph, that child is just going to read a sentence or two, that child's going to read a few words. So the parents then really got sensitive to you know, that education is not just a matter of being fair and treating everybody equally, that even in the Waldorf setting, where it looks like one shoe fits all, actually, you're really being sensitive to, you know, setting the bar a little higher than the child can perhaps attain at that moment, but also not insensitively making everybody do the same thing when that's just not possible. So this was really great. These parents learned something. As one of them said to me, you know, yeah, I'm enjoying teaching reading, but my gosh, how do you manage all these kids? At that time, the class was 31 or something like that. He said, you know, how do you get them to behave? I struggle with these four to really get them to listen and to be on task. It's astonishing. How does a teacher do that? So that was something. And also, if a parent, let's say, missed out on coming for 2 weeks and came 3 weeks later or something like that, they were blown away by the progress that the children had made. And they said, well, are you doing reading with them every day? And I said, this is it. This is our reading instruction in third grade. We really don't have much time to do much else. Much reading, because we have all of the other things. They're reading in their main lesson books, and sometimes we're going to read a poem together from the board. But this is the biggest focus we have. And they could see the progress the children were made. Some of it slow and steady, some of it at times rather spectacular. And it was very, very interesting. And of course, what happened? These anxious parents were also the ones who carried a lot of sway in the classroom. They were the ones people listened to. And at parent evenings, or in the parking lot, or when they met in the Whole Foods store, or whatever, they talked up these reading groups. And they had only the most positive things to say. So this worked on many, many levels. And yes, at the end of it, by April, when we were ready to end the groups and go out into the garden, I would say that 3/4 of the children in the class, 4/5 of the children in the class, had gone forward, recognizably, appreciably forward in their reading. So now what was 1/3 of the class struggling to get anywhere near grade level, now it was down to about 1/5 of the class. And the parents saw that. And that was worth its weight in gold. So again, bringing in parents in this way will scare the bejesus out of some of your colleagues. Secondly, working in groups that are mixed will totally terrify everybody, the parents, your colleagues, your reading specialists, whatever. You're not going to get much support for this. I can only tell you it works. It really works well. I would love to say to you, it works so incredibly well. It was so obvious after it happened, because many of these parents also had children in other classes. And it spread like wildfire through the school, and everybody decided to do it. Do you know that in all the years after that, only one teacher ever did it this way? Everybody else went right back to having specialty teachers as their helpers and to having groups of the same ability only. That's how counterintuitive this is. What were their results like? Middling. Very, very, mediocre reading results. Nothing like what we got out of these groups. But there again, you're going to tell the wonderful story in 7th grade or perhaps 8th grade about Galileo observing with his telescope that the moon had spots, that there were imperfections on the moon, and being visited by a group of churchmen who said, you can't be telling people this. The heavens are perfect. They are made in God's image. And Galileo said, well, here's the telescope. I've got it set up. Why don't you look in there and you tell me what you see? And of course, what was the response? We don't have to look. We already know the moon is perfect. So I would say, dear colleagues, that now and then, maybe more than now and then, you're going to get that kind of response, especially from older faculty members, that, you know, we know already what works and we don't have to try anything new, thank you. And you're not going to try anything new either because it might make us look bad. So I don't know. You may or you may not be able to carry this out, but I would say that I can, you know, almost give you a guarantee that it will have excellent results for the children and for the parents. And I can tell you also, all of these families who were represented by the parents who helped in the reading groups, they stayed with the class through thick and thin. They were there in eighth grade. Most everybody was there in eighth grade, actually. But, you know, these are people who certainly could have pulled their children out because of their concern about academics and the speed in which we taught things. And they actually became the great loyalists and boosters and supporters all the way through. And that's worth something as well. You know, it's worth taking a risk now and then to get that kind of solid support behind you. Okay, we'll go on with other aspects of reading in our next lecture.